Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. Wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when you have encounter after encounter with a dead loved one at their funeral? Yet no one you talk to of the living at the funeral will believe your story.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the ghost stories and you want some of our best ghost stories ever, not just some, hundreds, probably actually thousands of them, well, we do those once a week on our EPP episodes. We call them Extra Podcast People episodes. And they're released exclusively to EPPs. Every single Thursday, those come out. Jam-packed with the best ghost stories we've got. And there's more than 300 of those episodes out there. So if you want access to all of those, you also get access to our audiobook, our ebook, both of which are for sale on Amazon and Audible at about $15 a piece. You get that included for free. You also get advanced access to our regular episodes, no commercials in those at all. So you get all that stuff as a supporter of the show. It's only $5 a month to get access to all of it. You can do it at ghostpodcast.com. or patreon.com/realghoststories. That's what supports this show. That's what keeps it on the air. So if you like what you hear and you want to be a contributor and a supporter of this program, that's how you do it. So please do support if you like. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
It's meatloaf day here in the house.
It is meatloaf day.
And the office smells like meatloaf because you just had some for lunch, and it smells delicious.
Thank you.
Jenny makes a delicious meatloaf, by the way.
Thank you.
What I think would be fun to do on the show sometime is we play mystery meatloaf.
No, because there's so many things you could put in the middle I don't want.
No, that's the fun.
No.
That's the fun. You have to start. It has to be like at least 50% beef. But then the other 50% can be anything you want. It can be more beef and seasoning, or it can be anything else that's human consumable.
No, we're not doing that.
And then we serve it to each other on the air, and then we see how much each other likes it.
I always hated morning shows that did the, let's eat this and see how we react. That's bullshit.
I never did that.
You never did that.
No, I did that. I fed my intern cat food and dog food once for Thanksgiving.
And he still talks to you.
He does.
He's a good person.
He is. we wanted to make sure the pets had a good Thanksgiving, so we tried pet treats on the air. I even had some vegan strips that day. They taste like cheap beef jerky.
You know what? I couldn't keep Liv out of the bacon strips when she was a toddler.
I
had to put them on top of the fridge because she kept getting into them. And I'd be like, what are you doing? She's like, nothing. She's eating part of a bacon strip. And it's like, this is not right.
How did you feel as a mother when your daughter was obsessed with eating bacon strips?
And it's like everywhere I hid them, she would find them. Yeah, she was like 3 or 4 and it was her thing. And I was like, this is a problem. So once the bag was empty, we didn't buy anymore because she just kept finding them. And she would get a chair and she'd climb up on stuff and she would get them. So yeah, she would die, just absolutely die if she knew I just shared that on the show.
She ate bacon strips back in the day. They taste like cheap beef jerky. They really do. Like if you're ever at a gas station and you're like, I really want some beef jerky. and all they have is like...
Do not encourage listeners to eat bacon strips.
I'm not. And it's like a 99 cent... Like, beef jerky is not normally 99 cents.
No.
But let's just say you're at the gas station and it's like, well, that's what a deal. I'm going to try this.
You just encourage them to eat bacon strips.
And you try it and you're like, oh my God. It tastes like processed meat, but I guess it's kind of like beef jerky. It's like dollar store beef jerky. Is what bacon strips taste like.
Just stop. It's not for human consumption.
Unless you put it into a meatloaf.
Oh, that. That would be awful.
Bacon strip meatloaf. That's on the next Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Yes.
I had a little experience I was going to share.
Okay.
Actually, it was more just me chickening out because I thought there was an experience, but I don't know that there was one.
Ghostly or bacon strip related?
Paranormal.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was going to go to my favorite antique store and buy a cabinet that I'd had my eye on because I needed more storage in our bathroom for linens.
Yes.
And it's an old, like, pie safe. And I was going to go.
Go ahead.
What?
I tease it. And then we'll come back to why.
Anyway, I was going to go buy it, but I ended up chickening out.
But why did you chicken out? That's the question.
I guess we'll talk about later in the show.
Because that's the interesting thing. It's, and I totally get it. I probably would have done the same thing. But it's like, holy shit.
It's not a holy shit moment, but it was enough to freak Jenny out and make Jenny leave moment.
Do you think people think about things like that? Like when things happen, they're like, it's not quite a holy shit moment, but that would freak Jenny out from that podcast I listened to.
Probably.
And that's kind of the point. They're like, okay, we're good. Okay, so we'll talk about that story after this story. It says, my story has affected me and has affected my life. So my parents and my whole family do not believe in the paranormal, but I've always believed in the paranormal. My first encounter was when I was about 5. My grandfather, or who we called Papa, he died the day after Christmas and had Alzheimer's and died before I got to know him. It was about 8 in the morning when we got the call that he was dead. I could not believe it as I heard that he died. I heard someone whisper in my ear and could not figure out who it was. The whisper said, shh, it was okay. I'll visit you soon. Fast forward a few days, we're at his funeral. They had a kids' room at the funeral home that we went to. My sister and I went in and started watching The Lion King. About 30 minutes in, I thought I saw my papa. He was standing there watching us, smiling. I got up and went to hug him. I yelled, Papa, just to figure out I was still standing there watching The Lion King. Now, my sister and I got to see Papa in the funeral room and examine my papa. I soon see him breathing and say to my mom, he's breathing. My parents told me that I was crazy. I continuously saw him breathing and him not being able to get up. Last day of the funeral, I did not go, nor did my sister. I felt as if I went, I would try to do something and make everyone mad, so I did not go. I went to the bathroom in the year I saw my papa, and he said, why did you not come? The next few years of my life, I kept having encounters with my papa. My next encounter was when I was 8. I just heard that my aunt had just died. Everybody told me that they didn't know how she died, but I knew they were lying that week because nothing felt right to me. A month after that happened, stuff started happening. My aunt had once come to my house, and she came in my room and asked her to get her these two whales I had on my top shelf. Now that my aunt had died, I asked my dad to put the whales back on the top shelf. That night I started hearing things like someone coming into my room, trying to grab something. The next day, those whales were sitting on my dresser. I asked my dad to put the whale back on top of the shelf. The next day, those whales were sitting there on my dresser again. Now, I live in a whole other state. I still have encountered. The other day, I had an encounter. I wanted to run out of the house because I was home alone and I heard footsteps coming down the stairs. I thought it was just my sister or my cat. I ran to the stairs to scare them just to figure out that there was nobody there. Then I heard the doorbell ring. When I went to the front door, there was nobody there. I turned around and saw a dark figure. I did not know what dark figures were or what it was, but it was scary. My best friend can contact spirits and can see them. One day she came over and she summoned a fallen angel, I believe. I have no clue how, but apparently that was the person who was murdered. This individual tried to hug me, but then got pulled back. My best friend told me to stay still and be silent. Apparently, something had pulled it back. I do not know what caused any of the things and why my dead grandfather and aunt have come to visit me. It's truly been a mystery. Thanks for reading my story. I hope you have a great day. So it kind of sounds like someone who leads a somewhat haunted life.
Yeah, and it sounds like the grandfather was the first encounter that they knew of as far as somebody who had died coming and visiting. You know, when you're little, I'm assuming he was pretty little because he was watching Lion King.
Yeah.
You know, that you may or may not know that that person is gone. Mm-hmm. But when you're at the funeral and then you see the person you're at the funeral for, then you kind of get the idea of, okay, maybe I can see ghosts.
Okay.
And yeah. I think that was the beginning of it.
Yeah. I just think back to going to funerals. My parents never like really sheltered me from funerals. I think I started seeing going to funerals. Three, four, five, right around there. Okay. First funeral I think I went to. And I'm just trying to think who the first one was. Might have been my great uncle Barney. I think it might have been. Mm-hmm. It was just like, I don't know. I was never scared. I know sometimes like parents will like, oh, kids shouldn't go to the funeral. It's too, you know, they don't want to, I don't know. It's part of life. I don't know. I don't think it scarred me. Although others may feel different.
Yeah.
But
you do a ghost podcast, so
who knows? But I remember we didn't have The Lion King to watch because, well, number one, The Lion King wasn't out at the time yet. We just kind of, it was at the time where they didn't have a whole lot of things for the kids to do. It's like kids just kind of got brought along to shit and then were expected to sit on the couch and behave. And that was it. I mean, maybe someone had a Game Boy. Maybe. Highly doubtful, because even that might have been left at home because it would have been disrespectful to bring to the funeral home. So we just kind of ended up being kids and we would dare each other to go into the basement of this funeral home, which was this big kind of curving staircase. And it was all dark down there. The entertainment was upstairs, the body and everybody doing the
entertainment.
The entertainment. All the activity.
The party, the show.
The party, the showing. Yes. But the downstairs, I guess, is where they did, you know, all the embalming and stuff and where they also had the casket showroom. So you can go down there and you pick out which casket you want, which I've never been to a casket showroom.
Okay.
I've seen them in videos and stuff. Never actually been to one. But we dared each other who could go down the stairs the furthest. It's like when we were kids and we would dare each other who could go up into the woods the furthest, except we didn't have a woods. It was 3 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon. At Uncle Barney's funeral, who can make it into the darkness of the embalming room? That's what we would do. That was what we do for fun at a funeral.
I think the Game Boy would have been less disrespectful.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think you're probably right there. A little Tetris. That's Mario Land.
At least you're sitting there attending the funeral and not playing, hey, let's run into the embalming room. First one to touch the table wins.
Bonus points if you bring back a little bit of fluid.
Oh.
And it can be any fluid. It doesn't even have to be embalming fluid. Just fluid. Just some fluid.
A thing that looks like a corkscrew is not a corkscrew.
That's my first funeral memories. So you were at an antique store that you very much enjoy.
It's my favorite, and it's known to be haunted, which I know is ironic for me.
Now, walk me back a little bit there. Known to be haunted. Oh, this is the one where the owners flat out told us about.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I always get two, because you have two that you really love, and I'm always thinking the smaller one is haunted. I'm like, when did that happen? But I know, it's the nice big one.
Well, the smaller one's haunted too, but they don't know by whom, and they don't talk about it much.
Okay.
But the big one that I love.
Yeah.
Is haunted. It's been a mercantile since the 1800s, and then it shut down for a while, but now it's back to being a quote-unquote mercantile, but it's really an antique shop, but there's also crafts and things like that, and it's just the best one I've ever been to.
Yeah.
So I love it dearly. It's, you know, 10 miles down the road, so I probably go there more than I should. But the first time we went there, there were some people that had just in front of us paid and left, and they were trying to leave and trying to open the door, and they were struggling. And you know, an 1800s building, sometimes doors are finicky.
Yeah.
Well, the door was actually locked, and they were like, oh, that's Peter. Peter did it. And so they unlocked it, and we're like, what's who's Peter? And Peter's the ghost at the antique mall, or the antique store. And, it's not really a mall. It's all pretty much one type of store. Anyway, so they don't really know who he is or why he's there, but he's friendly. He just likes to lock people into the store. And that's a little ominous, but they said that, you know, they've had it investigated and that he just loves the store and that there's nothing bad about him. He just, that's his place, and he just does it jokingly. Anyway, so it's still my favorite antique store. And I go there because I knew that based on Facebook, they had this piece of furniture that would work perfect for extra storage in our bathroom. And I was going to go get it. Well, I go there and I'm about to walk in, and a bird flies right into the window right in front of me. Smack, falls to the ground, shakes its head, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
There should be stars floating around its head. It's a little bit dazed, and it's kind of looking at me, and I'm looking at it. Okay, I'm gonna go in, but I'm not buying anything today, because that's just, you know, we hear a lot about birds flying into windows, haunted places and stuff, and it's like, maybe it's a sign. Maybe it's a sign that I shouldn't buy that piece because there's something attached. I don't know. I made more of it probably than I should, but I did not come home with that pie safe to put my towels in, but I still love that store.
Someone else has the shit haunted out of them now that they bought it. And they hear it, the show, and they're like, oh my God, I wonder if that's the same pie safe I bought from that same haunted antique mall.
No. But we bought your old radio behind you there, and nothing's happened. And you bought a book about old ghost towns.
Yep.
And nothing's happened.
I have two things in here from that store.
Yeah. And I don't think I have bought anything for myself there because I chicken out every time, but I love to go and walk around in there.
Yeah, it is a neat store.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one. Well, there you go. I'm not going to fault you at all. I'm not going to criticize. I'd be interested to hear what our audience thinks of it. I wonder if anyone else has any other stories similar in, you know, fashion of a warning by similar means. And whether they heeded the warning or did not, and then what were the consequences? And it all started with like that, the bird hitting the window.
It's just, I'm a big believer in signs. And like, we had a good sign the other day on our anniversary. There's this mystery plant outside our bedroom window, and we didn't know what it was. And so you downloaded that app where you can take a picture of the leaf, and it tells you what it is. Come to find out, it's a great big hydrangea plant, and hydrangeas were our wedding flower. So you know, it's not, it just is starting to bloom, but it's not blooming a whole lot yet. But you know, there's been a lot of signs around the property that just mean a lot to us. But I don't know, the bird thing kind of freaked me out, and I was like, okay, not gonna bring that anything home today from the store. Just don't feel like it now.
We found our first possible grave on the property, and that's...
We did not. There's no grave.
It's been a good sign. It's like, yes, we've always wanted a cemetery on the land. We got one.
There may be one in about 50 years, so...
That's true. But we did not find a grave. But it is funny, the bones that Sting will come up to the house with, because that does make you pause and wonder for a moment, did he just find a grave? But it's like, well, I think it would be a giant if that was his femur. And it turns out it's like a cow bone that
he
found.
It's a cow femur.
Yeah, that he found out in the pasture somewhere.
He carries it around by the, you know, the ball, the part that goes into the socket of the hip. He carries it around like that.
It's like, look what I got, guys.
I know.
Femur. Toss my femur for me. And it's that's how he sounds. That's how he talks. So no graves found of humans yet. But certainly come across, a cow corpse at some point, or what was left of one somewhere. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And by the way, if you want to see any of the pictures of the stuff, like I put a picture up of the hydrangea plant the other day. There's a lot of like pictures of this, our adventures that we take during the week. And if you follow us on Instagram, you can see those. I'm at Tony Bruschi, TonyBruschki. Jenny is at Jenny, JENNY, Bruschi. And this, incidentally, she spells it differently.
I do not.
I'm kidding. Bruschki. If you want to follow us on Instagram to see some of the stuff during the week. Let's go to our next letter. It says, from 2005 to 2009, my mother, stepfather, and I took care of my grandfather that was sick with Parkinson's disease. We had lived in a mobile home park in Southern California. My grandfather's disease deteriorated him quickly, and by 2008, he was completely wheelchair-bound. During the 4 years of living with him, I personally had experienced some unexplained things in our mobile home. I would always try to debunk whatever would happen, like random bangs, voices, smells that would come out of nowhere, etc. My grandfather was a huge gambler. He spent his days in his chair watching horse races and betting whatever money he had left on them. My fondest memories with him growing up were going to the racetrack in Santa Anita and to help him place his bets. So I got used to him yelling at no one anytime he would lose a bet. Towards the end of his life, he had bad dementia and would start hallucinating that small children were in the home that were trying to tickle his feet in his sleep. Or one day, coming out of my room, him screaming and frantically looking at his microwave because one of the kids crawled inside. The dementia was so aggressive, it would cause him to try and get up out of his bed at night because he was trying to get away from the people in his room. A lot of high energy in our home. My mother and him had a falling out, and she decided it would be best if my aunt and cousins moved in for them to take care of him while my parents moved on to finding a place of their own. By 2010, my cousins and aunt were moved in, and my oldest cousin would tell me stories about the conversation she would overhear our grandpa having with these children. He is from Germany, and his first language was German. He would have these conversations half in English and half in German. None of us would know what he would say in German since none of us spoke it. My cousin called me one night with a panicked tone in her voice. She told me that it was just her and our grandpa at home. He was at the dinner table talking to children as usual. My cousin had stepped out to check on him, and he would say, "You know, it would be nice if you would stop acting like you don't see them. It's making them terribly upset." My cousin, surprised by his reaction, she responded kindly and apologized to him and the kids when she had returned to her room, which was my old bedroom. She laid in bed and began to start a video game session when she heard this weird noise coming from underneath her vanity. Under her vanity was a printer that she had unplugged, wrapped the cord around with the paper still inside. She was going to college at that point. The printer turned on to run one piece of paper. She freaked out, obviously. It was unplugged and there was no possible way for that to happen. So we talked on the phone for a few hours until she felt comfortable enough to fall asleep. The following weekend, we decided to have a sleepover at the house and invited our friend at the time over to hang out with us. This friend was heavily into dark magic and the paranormal. Anytime she would come over, she'd always talk about the energy in the home. It was a spring evening, and during that time of the year, the weather was perfect. We were inside the bedroom of my cousin's bed chatting, our friend suggesting we make our own Ouija board and see what was in the house. Stupidly, we agreed. and created a makeshift board with paper, dried out marker, and a bottle cap. With a few extra tea light candles and placed them next to us as we opened the board and tried to communicate with whatever was in the home. No windows were open, the fan was off, no AC was running because of the weather. They were not moving or anywhere near the candles. Went out of nowhere, this gust of wind came and blew out two of the four candles. We got spooked and decided to close the board and move on with the evening. Our friend was going to head home. She had these combat boots she always loved to wear. They were half under the bed. She jumped off and began to put on the boots. She gasps and goes, "Something help push my boot on." We laughed like, "Ha-ha, joke you are for messing with us." She gets angry and goes, "No, look." We turned on the light to see clear as day. This giant thumbprint on the toe of her boot as if someone were holding it to help it fit her. Super creeped out at this point. She gets her stuff and goes running out, ran straight to her car, and wished us goodnight. The sun was just about to set. My cousin and I went back inside and asked our grandpa if he wanted a snack before bed. He laughed and said, "Oh no, you guys started something." Two of us looked at each other confused and scared. We looked back at him as he just smiled. We told him we loved him and were going to watch a movie and to call us if he needed anything before bed. The bedroom door was a complicated door. The door was too big for the door hinge and it was super hard to open and shut the door. To do so, you'd have to put some muscle into it. I crawled into my cousin's bed, which was set up next to a wall. She shuts the door and climbs in with me. I turned on my side, which was facing the wall, and she laid sitting up, getting a movie ready on TV. As I'm dozing off, my cousin starts whispering, oh my God, Corey, look. I sat up and looked like someone trying to open the door. The door handle was moving rapidly. We grabbed onto one another and just stared at the door, gently opening itself. No one on the other side. At this point, we're paralyzed with fear and hear our grandpa laughing like crazy. The two of us are finally snapped out of it and went running out to the dining area, and our grandpa, still laughing, says, "Well, they don't like you guys." I responded with, "Who doesn't like us?" And he goes, "The children." A year later, my grandpa passed in November of 2011. During his memorial, my cousin and I stepped outside to get some air, and the sky was stunning. It was sunny with zero clouds around. She and I started sharing stories to help lighten the mood of all the craziness that took place with him. As we're talking, out of nowhere, this giant rain cloud begins to pour rain. Thunder hits hard, and everyone comes running outside to see what's going on. Our mom laughed and said, "Well, grandfather always had to make a scene one way or another." Later that night, once we were all back in our home, my cousin called me to tell me that she had come home and her stuffed animals were all in the living room. At that time, it was only her, my aunt, and her brother living there. But her brother was deployed during the time of our grandfather's passing and memorial. Her and my aunt were freaked out and tried to blame it on the cats. While on the phone, I hear a crack in her voice and she says, "I don't think his dementia was what we thought. I think there are kids in this home." It has been years since he has passed and they still live in that mobile home. She's experiencing stuff almost daily, but now has just adapted and tried to make a good relationship with these spirit kids for her sanity to defend my grandfather. There's little footsteps running around at night, kids' laughter, her stuff goes missing. It's found random areas all the time. It was a remarkably interesting time living through all of this with her, and he and I do believe that there had probably opened a door during our careless curiosity attempt with the Ouija board. It's my story. I've been listening to you guys for a little over 2 years now. It's one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. I can't wait to share more. Thank you guys for giving the opportunity for people like me to share these experiences.
I think when you have an illness, it opens you up to being able to see things that you wouldn't normally see or feel things you wouldn't normally feel. And that's why he was getting such a kick out of the kids that were there that nobody else, you know, believed. Mm-hmm. And, but yet they're still there. So that tells you it's not just the dementia.
How often do you think that happens?
I think a lot.
Yeah.
I think a whole lot. I think, you know, I don't want to get into any of the medical stuff of it, mm-hmm. but I think it, you know, anytime you have your mind altered, whether it be through chemical or, you know, physical changes.
Just your natural breakdown.
Yeah, I think that that can bring on different types of sensitivities. Mm-hmm. And you can see things that you wouldn't normally see or feel things you wouldn't normally feel.
Yeah. It's when you alter the way that something perceives things, or it gets altered just naturally through our body deteriorating as we get older. I think it can open things up, and things can function in ways that they normally don't function. I mean, if, for example, this is a real thing and it sounds kind of crazy, but old fillings, people would talk about hearing, radio waves through their fillings, because it was picking up signals.
Yeah.
Like literally it was the vibrations, and it wasn't like they were crazy. It was just, but that's something that was altered, something that was changed. And it makes you wonder if there's something in the brain too, that as someone is going into that state and they're suffering with dementia, it's not to say that dementia does not exist or anything, because obviously it certainly does. But then it makes you wonder then, well, is it also opening up a sensitivity to things that otherwise they wouldn't have been cognizant of?
It's very much like how people in hospice see things there before they pass. This is just a much slower progression.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes you wonder exactly what it is they're seeing and experiencing, and how much is it the mind that's firing things off, and how much of it is they're really seeing this, and it's really there in some other plane or ghostly realm, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't really make me wonder, because there was no river there as far as I'm aware. But I remember my grandmother, when she had dementia, she'd look out the window, and she was in a assisted living facility towards the end. It really was a hospice type care facility. And she would look out the window. She's like, aren't those sailboats beautiful? We're in the middle of a neighborhood. There's no lake. I mean, there's a lake on the other side of town.
Sure.
But there's no lake outside that window. But she was like, plain as day.
But didn't she speak quite a bit of Norwegian when she was sick towards the end?
I don't know if she did or not. I mean, I know she would... I don't know if she was speaking Norwegian. I don't recall that, but she was recalling a lot of people from her childhood when, in those days when she grew up speaking Norwegian.
Right.
So I don't, maybe she did. Maybe I'm just not remembering that. Did my mom say that?
I'm not positive. I just thought I remembered somebody saying that, and it kind of came to mind when they were talking about this gentleman who, with, you know, his dementia, speaking German more. Yeah.
I remember the last time I visited her before she had passed, she was able to talk and everything just fine, but the dementia was really bad. She didn't really, there was a few lucid moments where she knew who I was. Mm-hmm. And then just as quick, anyone who's dealt with someone or loved one with dementia, you know how strange it can be and heartbreaking it can be. Where they can be, they're there, and then like the next move of their eyes across the room, it's gone, and it's completely different. You know, she said, you know, I didn't think I was going to ever see you again, and she met me, and then she mentioned, we continued talking about me and who I was, so she knew who I was, and then it was gone, and then she started talking about me as if I was the Olsen boy from down the road. Which was another Norwegian family that lived down the road from her in a small little town that she grew up in, like Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
And she was asking about what was going on with something with the Olsen family. And it's amazing just how quick it goes from there to there, and then what is so real and what's not. The only thing I can try and it's hard for us to understand, well, what is that like? I have dreams where my mind functions, I think, in a very similar fashion.
Where it's just all over the place.
All over the place. And wherever you're going, it goes. And you're just like, because I'll like re-examine the dream once I wake up and be like, well, why the hell how did I go from here to there? And why did I not like stop myself going, well, that's a totally off topic. I mean, I know I normally do that somewhat, but I know why I'm moving from here to there. But in dreams, it's like, why? Like there's no reason for the line to go that direction.
Sure.
But I guess maybe that's somewhat what it's like when you're suffering with dementia is you just go. You don't know why you're going from point A to point B. And you're not really analyzing it either. It just gets there. Mm-hmm. And I think that may be what it's like and why folks who have it are completely unaware. But obviously to those who are in the surrounding of them and in care of them, see it as such dramatic jumps.
Yeah.
But do you ever have that when you dream, or is that just me that's like, boom, boom, boom?
Mine kind of follows the storyline, but the storyline takes some weird turns. But it's not just a rapid fire of different things. Yeah. It's more like, oh, I'm on this mission or this purpose or I'm doing this. And then it suddenly changes, but it all seems to make sense in my mind, but it makes no sense at all when I wake up. And I can only remember dreams like right when I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
A couple hours later, they're completely gone.
That's gone.
It's like, I want to tell you about them, but I can't because it's gone.
Yeah, so you keep the notepad next to your bed and then you write and then you try and read the writing in the morning. Doesn't work.
No. No.
I can't read my writing in a good day in light when I have, if someone said, okay, you have 1 hour. All you have to do is write one legible paragraph. Mm-hmm. Stay within the lines. And make sure it's legible for me to read.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to do it.
No.
I can type you a great story in an hour, but my handwriting is horrific.
Yeah.
Even if I tried, I don't think I, because when I do try to write nice,
you can't.
It's still bad. It's been so long since I've actually done it. I mean, look at my chicken scratch around here. I mean, look at
I know.
This is notes from the other night. And this is how bad my mind is. I had Carol on and Kathy.
Okay.
I know Kathy. I've known Kathy now for 15 years.
Yeah.
Because Kathy has been, it's Carol's sister.
Right.
And Kathy would visit the radio station. So I've known Kathy. I've known Kathy's daughter for 15 years. I know the family.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind is so, I don't know names. I had to write down Carol, Kathy. I knew I would remember Carol, but I had to write down Kathy because I was afraid I was going to forget Kathy's name. 15 years into knowing this person, that's how fucked up my mind is. It's like, I'll just blank.
Well, if she hears this, I hope she's not offended because you are like that with everything.
I am.
Dates, names, yeah.
It's going to be scary when I'm old because...
There's no way to know if you're sick or not.
Exactly. The only people who will really know are like you and Harper. You'll be like, no, Dad's always been like that. There's nothing. This is not anything new. Somebody will be like, he's really struggling with names. He's struggled with names since he was 10.
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be tough around here when neither one of us can remember anything because I have just as much, that in my family as you do in yours. And it's like, if we both get it, then we're like, neither one of us are going to know who we are.
I do struggle for words, which is fun.
No, I hate that when I do that too.
Because it's like, it's the, and I'll describe exactly what it is I'm talking mm-hmm. about, but I can't figure out what it is. It's great. Our house is just wonderful. It's uniquely us.
Yeah, it's uniquely us.
And thank God it's us who are dealing with it because we all kind of get each other mm-hmm. on how we function. But and then the rest of my chicken scratch, I don't know what's on here. Creepy ex-doctor visit, I said. Can you read this at all? I can read my writing. Can you read my writing?
Kathy shadow guy in something. And that is it.
See, because these are things that I'm
guy murder wife. Did you write guy murder wife?
Let me read. Let me see.
Neighbor guy murder wife.
Neighbor guy murder wife. Yes. Yep.
And see, when you get old and you have to write things down for
like
me
that.
To communicate with you, there's going to be no way. You're going to write down, I need to use the bathroom and I'm going to make you a sandwich. And that's what's going to happen because I won't be able to read your handwriting. We need to get you some kind of system where you can type or, God rest his soul, Stephen Hawking chair. I don't know. Because it's just... Nobody can read your writing.
Like, thank you for the bologna sandwich. I've been saying for 30 years how much I've wanted bologna, but what I really needed was to go pee. So I'm sorry if your feet are wet now that you brought me the sandwich. That's how that's going to go.
I'll just take it that you're marking me like the bunny does.
Oh, he's old. He marks people like rabbits now. Yeah. That's how he shows love.
Harper was so pissed. The bunny peed on her.
Uh-huh.
But honestly, if you look it up, bunnies mark things that they love.
Yeah.
And they mark, you know, places and people and beds and stuff. And so I was explaining that to her, and she's like, I'm so happy that the bunny peed on me.
She said to me the other day in the garden, because we were out there working on stuff. We're talking about food that the bunny might like. Mm-hmm. And she just out of nowhere, she's like, Dad, I'm so happy that the bunny peed on me. It shows that he loves me.
Yeah, she feels comfortable with her.
And it's true. It just sounds funny.
Yeah.
So, 855-853-4802. Is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the show. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to support the program and keep it going. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.